Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. This week on the HR Power Hour, we have two great guests. First, Lori Glaude, president of the AMARA, Manchester Area Human Resource Association in Manchester, New Hampshire, and Tim Dabrio, president of SHRAR, the Seacoast Human Resource Association in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. We're going to be talking about why HR associations matter. Tim and Lori, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
So, you know, we wanted to bring on both of you, as you are both presidents of the Manchester Area Human Resource Association, Lori, and also Tim, the president of SHRA, which I've always said we have to work on that name, Tim. Sorry, we just have to. Seacoast Human Resource Association. Both great organizations. What I'd like to do is start off with you, Lori, if you could. Could you kind of give me an overview of where you see the 2014-2015 focus for your organization this year?
Sure. We have been focusing on continuing to grow our membership. Last year was a tipping point for us. We peaked over 200 members. And what we're finding is within our membership, there's two levels of HR needs to be met. So one is that generalist level that needs the basic HR content, the labor compliance, the best practices. And so our program committee has been working diligently on putting a track together for that. The second piece that we're hearing from our membership is that they want more of an advanced program, that top-level strategic HR person. So last year, we actually partnered with SHRA to work on a master series program, which we're in the planning stages as we speak, to deliver programs that meet that need. We polled our membership and had a focus group and really listened to what our members said, and they said we really need that full content that helps us improve our business through the lens of HR, whether that's building bench strength for organizations or really understanding business acumen. So that's been our focus. So this year we added a governance chair role to help us really focus on better defining our roles as volunteer leaders, making sure that we're in compliance with our bylaws and that our bylaws are really advancing our membership and working for us, and to help us continue to build board bench strength. The one area that we've focused on for several years with MIRA is really having a strong board so that we can keep advancing the organization. And so this year we put a dedicated position in making sure that that person works with the president and the president-elect to continue to do that. So it's a big year for MIRA, and we are continuing to move forward.
No, that's great. Tim, so talk to me about SHRA. What do you see happening in the next, you know, this year in 2014 to 2015?
Similar to Lori, SHRA has kind of gone through over the course of the past couple of years through some strategic planning to really determine what we can do best to help our membership, which sort of changes your demographics of your membership tends to change over time, so you want to make sure you can adapt the programs. But we've been focusing a lot on, you know, legal topics tend to be the best types of programming that we can offer. And, you know, 4 years ago, we used to have one legal update at our programs, and now we're up to about three. We have three different attorneys that will come and present, and those are usually the highest attended meetings for us. So, as the membership speaks, we'll listen. So they tend to enjoy a variety of legal topics from, FMLA, to general legal, New Hampshire update, a legal update, and Department of Labor update. So they just really enjoy learning about those things. But then we go into other things like HR competencies and leadership and team coaching. So a variety of different topics, but I think the legal piece tends to be the biggest draw for us.
Do you think, and I was just going to play on that for a minute, do you think that's because lawyers bring, if you want to call it, expertise in specific areas, and is that what the membership is calling for?
It is, and I know, David, you know some of the attorneys in New Hampshire that do speak at our at our meetings, and you know, number one, it's they're really well respected, the attorneys that we have come to speak, and so our members know them. They enjoy their presentation style. It's not 90 minutes of boredom. They bring some personality to the presentation. But yeah, it's, you know, for each of them, it's a little bit of a different focus, but the overall theme is usually, you know, New Hampshire, changes in New Hampshire labor laws that they're really interested in learning more about. And then this year, FMLA was big. We had, in September, Deborah Weiss Ford came and spoke about that. And it was just something we hadn't done in a couple of years, so people had some great questions. And it's an opportunity for them to present an example to the attorney and get an answer on their issues and share it with the group as well.
No, and certainly Deborah's been a great proponent of the HR Power Hour and a great sponsor, and she does a great job. There's no question about it. You know, Laurie, when you're looking at planning events, one of the things that I've noticed is that a number of the HR groups are starting to look at more of, I'll call them, quote-unquote, fun events. You have events that sometimes you bring in. I know Tim will talk about, because I'm going to ask him what his fun event is, and I know they do some night events. They do some evening cocktail hours. They do some dessert events. Okay, yes, my favorite. But, you know, they do certain things that are fun and different. Do you see that as a trend for associations, Laurie, in bringing people into the mix?
We share a lot of the events that Shra does, particularly with the networking event, and just prior to the call, Tim and I were having this conversation. I do see that as necessary in order for camaraderie to be built within the association, within members. So we do an evening event that's networking, and it's a cocktail hour and heavy hors d'oeuvres, and we do a networking hands-on event to really help our members network with each other. And that is very, very well received. And I think the reason that it is, as HR professionals, we're very dedicated to our organizations and we work really hard. But what we forget to do is really spend time getting to know each other and the benefits of that. So we find that event to be phenomenal. And this year we are looking at doing a second event similar to that because of that same reason. So I think the fun, we have to find a little space in our calendars to do that. Otherwise, we just get so engulfed in our jobs that we lose out on the benefit of knowing, you know, there's 200 other people I could learn from here.
No, I think that's a critical piece of it. When I talk to HR professionals, one of the reasons they join these associations is, yes, for certainly the knowledge and information and the programmings, but if you really talk to them, it's because they can talk to their peers, right? And they can share information, and they can get information and be in a safe zone so they can talk about some of the things that happened in their workplace and make that happen. So, I think that is a critical component. Agreed. Tim, do you see the same thing down in Shrar? And what are some of the fun events you guys are coming up with?
Yeah, I mean, when we went through our strategic planning process a couple of years ago, and after every program, we actually have our attendees complete a survey. And one of the most common themes on every survey for probably 3 to 4 years was more opportunities to network. People wanted more time to network. But our meetings are at 7:30 in the morning. So people normally don't want to show up at 6:30 in the morning to network for another hour, nor do they want to stay beyond 10 o'clock in the morning because they want to get to work and, you know, continue with their day. So, so we tried to look for more creative opportunities for folks to be able to kind of chat with each other. Like Laurie said, I mean, people just want to get to know each other. So we started doing, during the summertime, it's not a program, it's just, you know, sort of an after hours where we host at a different venue each year an opportunity. This year we did it at the 100 Club right in Portsmouth, and it's just an opportunity for people to kind of mix and mingle. In Shra, we have some sponsors that help to, you know, pay for the cost of the event, but it's not an inexpensive event, but it's a way for our organization to give back to our members that give us so much, and also provide them with an opportunity to kind of talk to each other and get to know each other. A lot of our members that have been that are senior HR professionals, one of the things, and I know Laurie has learned this as she's, as Mara has focused on the senior HR folks, getting them more engaged, is one of the things they want to do is, help to mentor and give back to the younger HR professionals. And this is it's a perfect opportunity for them to meet each other, folks that have been in HR for 20 years and folks that are just getting into HR. So, and also to encourage some volunteerism. you know, we're always looking for volunteers on our board and our committees, and it's a great opportunity for our board members to interact with our members and have time to do it. So we do that event during the summertime, and then we started doing one evening program through the year, and we do that. We actually have that coming up in November, and where it's a little bit of a longer networking period of time. It's in the afternoon. It's from 4:30 until 7, and people have about an hour to, again, mix and mingle. We do a silent auction to benefit the Sherm Foundation. So just something fun to get people engaged with each other. So those are the two different opportunities that we've been providing, and we're always open to different ideas, and that's what's great about having a creative board is you come up with some neat ideas and different ideas to get people engaged.
Lori, I know you do a legislative update each meeting, and how important are legislative issues to the HR community? How important are they to the actual group itself? And do you get a lot of feedback from that? I know you get Jim Reedy typically to come down. He's an attorney from Manchester, again, another sponsor of the HR Power Hour, and we're proud to have him, and he's been on the show, of course. He's a great speaker. How important are these legislative updates to your organization?
They're absolutely critical. Once a year, we do one full program, just a legal update. That's our January program, and that is our highest attended program throughout the year. And the reason that they're so critical is, at least in my career in HR, there has been more legislative changes in the last few years, and they continue to move at a very rapid pace. And having that service to our membership helps keep our members compliant in their jobs that they do. And it's very difficult, even for somebody who's been doing this for as long as I have and Tim has, it's hard to keep things straight. In addition to doing that one program, we do a legal update at every single program meeting, and Jim delivers that to us. Here's the hottest topic for this month, here are the things that you need to be aware of, or here's the pending legislation that is happening at the state level or at the federal level. And we have really embraced this concept that our membership has a voice and needs to exercise that voice in shaping future laws or changing laws. And so one of the focuses of MARA is to really encourage our membership to speak to their representatives in the state and their senators, advocate for the things that impact our business. Jim is one of the 18 members for Sherm, and he is very heavily involved with that, and he's helping us bring that message back to our membership to really advance laws in a way that impact our business through the lens of a business. So I think the legal update for us is absolutely a critical component to our membership benefits, and I see that continuing to be more in demand as we move forward, particularly with the ACA and future pending legislation in the state that's coming on down the pike.
Tim, do you agree?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, as I mentioned before, having, moving from one legal program or legal update at our programming to now we have three. And if we did four on different legal topics going on in the state and federal level, I think that all four would be well attended. It's just we try to create a little bit of variety. And, even at the state level, we do an annual legislative conference, and that's really well attended as well. So they're always looking for more opportunities to learn about what's going on at the federal and state level.
You know, it's interesting when I talk to individuals, they say things like, well, yes, a legal update's really important and I like to know what's going on. There's so much to try to follow. How do you try to engage members? And Lori, I'll start with you. How do you try to keep members updated when they're not in session just once a month? Does the chapter really look to provide information all month long, or how do you go about engaging your membership?
We look at that as part of our responsibility. And so one of the things that we do is we do a monthly newsletter, and we have a legal update in every single newsletter. And it may be similar to what we do with the program, but we also use that system to communicate things that are rapidly changing as we get notices or things that are pending changes. We think it's really important that HR keep that on their radar at all times, because otherwise you may get blindsided and you're inadvertently putting your organization at risk. So that's an important part of our service, and that goes out every month. We also, if there's some hot news, usually it's said to us by Jim. Jim serves on our board as our legal advisor. If there's something hot, he'll send it out to us, and we will get that out. And we, too, are very fortunate. We have two labor attorneys on our board Jim and Andrea Chatfield, between the two of them, anything hot that we need to get out to our membership, we do an e-blast and or it goes into our newsletter and it's posted on our website.
No, that's great. And you know what's interesting? One of the other questions I might ask, and Tim, maybe I'll direct this to you directly. Do you think the organization should take positions on, controversial issues, or do you think that there should be a position statement from each of the groups in terms of that? I know we just completed the election, and I'm not asking for you to have any discussion on whether you agree or disagree with what happened to the election, but the reality is, in this particular case, do you think that SHRM, or in terms of your chapters individually, should take a stand on particular issues?
Well, I think having each chapter taken a stand that could create a bit of a divide between chapters, and I don't want to speak for Lori's chapter, but as a chapter, we don't take a position. SHRM provides, some guidelines and on their position on things, and I think we encourage our members to get involved at the state level on different Department of Labor updates and things that are going on in the state legislature. Through the legislative conference, they have an opportunity to actually meet with some of the local legislators and Congress folks. So they have an opportunity to express their opinion, and SHRM provides us some guidelines as far as what SHRM's stand might be on those. And I think that's the avenue we tried to go, is try to get people involved at the state level. And I think Lori had mentioned that program earlier as well.
Lori, your
as
take?
As a chapter, we don't take a position.
Sure, no, I understand. Lori, your take?
I tend to agree with Tim. Marla does not take a position, but we highly encourage our membership to advocate on behalf of their own business with pending legislation and legal issues that do affect their business. We, in New Hampshire, I think the uniqueness about operating in this state is we are just littered with small businesses, and certain legislations that are being proposed at the state and the federal level can really significantly adverse your business from an administrative perspective or an implementation perspective or a cost perspective. And so we are very in tune to that and encourage our members to exercise their voice to change that. And we, too, also rely heavily on the SHRM guidelines, although we don't necessarily take that position. We do make that available to our members and encourage them to really advocate. I think that if there's one area we can continue to being strengthened is in that area of advocate for your business, because and Tim mentioned earlier we do an annual legal update through the legislative update through the state council. One of the things that we find is when we meet with representatives, they really want to hear from business leaders in the community on how pending regulations will impact their business. So at MARA, we continuously try and encourage our membership to do that more often, because our representatives and senators need to hear it, and I also think our state, our federal senators and representatives need to hear it as well.
We're talking with Tim DeBrio and Lori Glaude, and they are presidents of two SHRM chapters here in this great state of New Hampshire. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we'll be right back on News Talk WLLB.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan.
Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan.
Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan?
I like bronze, like my tan.
Are sunburns covered?
Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group.
Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional.
Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we're having the great conversation with Lori Glaud. She is the president of MARA, the Manchester Area Human Resource Association in New Hampshire, and Tim Dabrio. He's the president of SHRAR, the Seacoast HR Association in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Again, thank you both for being on the show today.
Thank you for having us.
No problem. So let me talk a little bit about, you know, before we left the air, we were talking about the legislative importance to the membership. And, you know, during the break, we had a quick conversation about what you guys are calling the A-Team. So explain what the A-Team is and what that all means, Tim. And then, you know, I know you guys were having a good conversation discussing when it started. I think that'd be interesting to the viewers to understand it.
Sure. Well, you know, SHRM developed the advocacy teams, which, you know, we refer to as the A-Teams back in 2010. As a way to get SHRM members, which, you know, our chapters are a member of SHRM, more involved in some of the decision-making process at the legislative level. And so New Hampshire, we weren't even on the list as a target state, if you will, for SHRM in order to develop an A-Team, but there was so much interest and we had so many people that really wanted to get involved that we actually got moved up the list by a couple of years, and our A-Team formed back in 2012. So each congressional district in New Hampshire has an A-team, and they have what's called a captain for that A-team, and they have members of their team involved, and you know, they try to get HR professionals involved to see what they can do at the state level to meet with federal and local district legislators to kind of discuss with them the importance of any of the issues that are going on. And how they impact our business community. As Lori had mentioned, we have so many small businesses in New Hampshire. It is really important for them to be involved and express their opinion on some of the different things that are being proposed.
Lori?
Absolutely. I have been involved with the A-Team, and it's a phenomenal program that's led by SHRM. And what happens is our members meet with leaders, and we talk about issues. And we talk about the impact, and we talk about issues that are affecting our business, whether it's an economic issue or it's a workforce issue or it's a regulation issue. And what we're finding is when we meet with our leaders, they have a high interest in hearing from our professionals in the field. And they do listen, and they're very curious of how their jobs impact us. And just recently, actually earlier this month, there was a team together in Senator Shaheen's office, and we probably had 12 representatives from the memberships across the state getting together and meeting with our leaders and talking about whatever specific issue. This one happened to be issues around E-Verify and the potential changes with the thresholds for exemptions. And they appreciate the lens of employers. And I think by New Hampshire having an A-Team, it brings all of our chapters together to advocate on behalf of New Hampshire issues. So it started, like Tim said, in 2012, and I am particularly proud of the fact that New Hampshire was moved up on the list, because that just shows the power of the HR associations we have all over the state. It's a great program.
Really, no, I think it's important. You know, advocacy is something that requires members to get together and really make a difference. And sometimes it takes an association to bring people together to see if it's a common, you know, common area for both organizations. And I think that's really great that there is an A-Team now set up in the state of New Hampshire. Do you find that members volunteer easily? And whoever wants to answer that question.
We haven't had a lot of success at the Seacoast getting a lot of our folks involved in District 1. I know Manchester's had, I think we definitely have more people involved. I think we might have one person from our area involved in an A-Team. But we haven't been very successful getting folks involved, unfortunately.
And what do you think that is, Tim?
I think, you know, a big part of it, as far as what we hear from feedback, even as far as getting involved even on our board or anything else going on in the community, it's time. And a lot of folks just feel they don't have the time to put into it. Although, you know, there isn't that much time involved, and you try to tell people that. But a lot of it is time.
Lori, what's your take on this? And if you've had some success, how have you made that happen?
Well, we have had some success. I wouldn't say it's been to the level that we would like it to be, for the same reasons that Tim said. It's a commitment of time. Everybody is doing more with less these days, and it's just you're asking that much more on a volunteer basis. That said, we have talked about this at our chapter meetings monthly. We have Mike Klopp, who is the current director, was the 18 leader right from Mara, and he was actually one of the driving forces to bring New Hampshire into the fold earlier. So I think having that presence and talking about it has piqued interest, and it's that interest that really gets our membership willing to give a little bit more time. But if there's one thing that I think we all can work on as a state, is really encouraging volunteerism. It is a really tough thing to do on any level, to get volunteers out of their offices and stretch themselves a little bit because of the time commitments.
Well, I think, you know, I've spoken to a number of nonprofit organizations that have come in and talked on the show about their, great organizations and what they do. And all of them say the exact same thing, is that volunteering is just a struggle to get people to volunteer. And I think part of it is definitely time. One of the things that the digital age has done is, made it so that we're more accessible in everything, and that has certainly challenged individuals on time, because they're always on the go, they're always getting connected, they're always having people talk to them, or businesses are always emailing, or something's going on. So I think this is a big issue, not only for both chapters, but just in volunteerism in general. Are you hearing it from nonprofit members, or even from members themselves, Lori?
I am hearing that it's very good. We have a lot of nonprofit members in our organization. Manchester is probably one of the highest population nonprofits. And we, at the state level, just did a leadership program around volunteerism. I don't know, Tim, if you picked that speaker who came in from United Way to talk about that.
Yeah, Robin Albert from the United Way of the Greater Seacoast, she spoke about it, and it is, one of the most difficult things we find is the time piece, but also, and Robin brought up this point at the presentation she did last month for the state, it's, getting people to understand what's in it for them is kind of the biggest piece, is understanding what are they passionate about, and then what can you connect them with at your board level, or if we're talking about the A-teams, whatever those volunteer opportunities are, is finding out what they're passionate about and connecting them with that. And that's what we try to do with our board over the past couple of years when we're trying to find volunteers, is instead of just sticking them onto a committee that we know needs the most volunteers, is learning a little bit more about that potential volunteer and finding out what they might be most suited for, that might fit them the most, what are they passionate about, what's their background, and then asking them if they'd be willing and getting onto that committee. And we found it's been successful for us, and we've had less turnover at our committee level because people are a little bit more passionate about what they're doing. And I think, at the 18 level, with the getting people involved there, I think people, other than time, it's something they're unfamiliar with, and they're a little bit nervous about going and meeting with legislators and talking to them about these things if they're just not, they don't feel they're very familiar or prepared for it. And so part of it is just getting people to, you don't want to force them, but just pushing them into that direction, saying you just have to go, learn a little bit more about it, and you'll see it's not, you don't have to be afraid.
And we now talk about volunteerism at all our chapter meetings, and we make opportunities available to our members on a very small project base to help combat the time, whether it's a workforce readiness initiative or it's a diversity initiative, because we're trying to find that passion or that interest that somebody will get out of their office for even one event without really fully committing to a board seat or a committee service, but more of a task. We found a lot of success with our workforce readiness initiatives at getting volunteers on a project-by-project basis, because that's the commonality with all of us, is that we're all feeling the shortage of help and the critical skills that are missing. That's been our avenue, is just try to peek in and find one topic that may spark your interest enough to get you to come out and help us do something about it.
No, I think that's important. One of the things I know that both your organizations do is provide scholarships. Starting with you, Lori, could you tell us what the scholarships are for at your organization, how they help HR professionals? And then, Tim, I'll jump to you next.
We offer multiple scholarships throughout the year. The most prevalent that we offer is to become certified as a either PHR, SPHR, GPHR. We offer this to our memberships because we support getting certified, and we make four scholarships available throughout the year in the spring session and in the fall session. Additional to that, we also offer scholarships to our legislative update because, we want our members, if there's a barrier that prevents them from receiving this information, we want to take that barrier off the table. So we put together a scholarship program for our legislative updates. We put it together for our Granite State HR conference so that our members have an avenue. As I said earlier, we have a lot of nonprofits as part of our membership, and they simply do not have the financial resources to pay for these things. They're part of our membership benefits is they can apply for scholarships. We've been really successful with that, and we're really proud of that fact. And we celebrate every time one of our members gets certified by publicly acknowledging them within our membership. And I believe that it's important, and it's part of our responsibility as a trade association to provide those benefits.
No, I think it's true. And Tim, your take on what does your organization, SHRA, do for scholarships for your membership?
Yeah, we have, at the chapter level, we give out $2,000 a year in scholarships to be used for, really, they can use it for anything to improve their body of knowledge as an HR professional. So last year we sent a member to the SHRM National Conference that was held in June. Earlier in the year, we had somebody that was studying for their PHR exam, so we were able to give them $1,000 towards the study materials for that exam, and we just gave out another scholarship this fall for the same reason, somebody that wanted to study for the PHR. And as Lori said, for our statewide conferences and regional conferences, we do the same thing. If we have committee members and board members that give their time and volunteer, we actually pay for them to go to these conferences. And same thing with the Granite State HR Conference, we pay for our board members to go to that. Just because they do give their time, and we obviously can't compensate them for that, but we do want to do what we can to help them improve their individual performance or individual development as much as we can. And I think at the statewide level, we're looking to do the same thing as the state council is develop scholarships that we can hand down to the chapter level to give back to the HR community as much as possible, because that's what we're here for.
We're speaking with Lori Glaude, president of Manchester Area Human Resource Association, and Tim Dabriel, president of SHRA, Seacoast HR Association, both in New Hampshire. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back. Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan.
Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan.
Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan?
I like bronze, like my tan.
Are sunburns covered? Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group.
Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
We'll be right back. And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we are talking with Lori Glaude, president of Manchester Area Human Resource Association in New Hampshire, and Tim Dabrio, president of SHRA, Seacoast HR Association in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Again, you know, we have been talking this first couple segments on a lot of the great things that your organizations do. Both associations do everything from help their membership understand legislative updates. They provide information and great content, great programming. You know, you do scholarships. There's a lot of great things going on. But right now, today, in the HR community, there is a little bit of turmoil in terms of what we would call certification. And yes, I'm going to drag you both into this a little because I think it's important for people to hear what their presidents of their organizations think of what SHRM has done recently is provide two new certified professional programs, one the SHRMCP and the other one the SHRMSCP, SHRM Senior Certified Professional and SHRM Certified Professional. These programs are internal within SHRM, and they are different from the traditional ones that people know from the HR Certification Institute, the PHR, the SPHR, and the GPHR, which both of you mentioned in the last segment you do scholarships for. So one of the things that certainly we're hearing in the industry today and HR professionals is this confusion, and I know that SHRM is going out to you know, the membership and talking about it, but the reality is there is some confusion. SHRM has done a great job over the last number of years of promoting PHR, SPHR, GPHR to their membership, and now they've brought in two new ones internally. Tim, I'm going to start with you. I'm going to put you on the hot seat a little bit. Tell me what your thoughts are about this and whether or not that you're hearing the confusion out there that I'm hearing, that we're hearing throughout the organizations, and what your take on this is.
Well, it is interesting because I'm, I'm not an HR professional, so my my take on it is I'm trying to be very objective on it and look at everybody's opinions. We've been trying as a chapter to communicate the changes that are going on and helping people to understand that, number one, they don't. If you have your SPHR or your PHR or your GPHR, you don't have to do anything different if you don't want to. And understanding the history of how the new SHRM competency model was created. And it was started about 2 or 3 years ago, and from what I understand, SHRM had given HRCI an opportunity to sort of develop or work with them to develop this competency model that they've created, and they didn't quite agree. HRCI didn't quite agree on what SHRM was trying to create, so SHRM decided to go on its own and create its own competency model. And, you know, from our input, it's hard because we are SHRM chapters, and we do want to support SHRM as much as we can, but at the same time, we have so many HR professionals that have, pursued their PHR and SPHR, and they continue to, seek credits for those designations, and for them, that is what they see as an HR professional. That's what they see as, sort of their stamp of approval on what they've been doing for years. So helping them to understand what the changes are and that they can keep their current designations or they can choose to pursue the new SHRM designation as well and keep both of them intact. And as a chapter, we're going to continue to pursue HRCI continuing education credits for PHRs and SPHR professionals as well. So I think we're trying to maintain a balance, a fine balance between both certifications. I think it's going to be very challenging about probably a year from now or 2 years from now for us as chapters. And Lori, I don't know if you agree, but I think at that point we're going to see that folks are either going to choose one or the other. I don't know if they'll continue to want to hold both competencies or both designations, rather. I don't know if they're going to continue. From what I hear from our HR professionals that do have their PHR and the SPHR, from what they're seeing with the SHRM competency, that model, they do like it, from what they've read, and they can appreciate what SHRM has done, but at the same time, they do have a little bit, they're a little bit leery of making the change.
Lori?
Did that answer the question without answering the question?
No. Are you running for office? No, continue. We're done with that. Let's move on. No, great. Lori?
Yeah, I tend to agree with Tim. We're seeing a lot of the same thing. We have a lot of HR professionals who are concerned, am I going to lose my certification? Am I going to lose it not only through the certification process, but in the industry as being known. It's taken an awful long time for the designation to be recognized by the business community, and it's been around for decades, but yet it's just now starting to show up in job descriptions or recruiting ads that that's a desired quality to have. So we're concerned a little bit about what that impact's going to be because it has taken so long to grow legs. We, too, are hearing a lot of angst about do I carry two, do I carry one, what is it going to mean? And we don't know those answers. So as a chapter, we've made the decision we are also going to offer both credits to our membership because that's important. And anybody who's been certified, you'll hear them say, I want those credits because I never, ever want to sit for that test again. That's where the angst comes in because it's a grueling test. As far as the branding and where that's going, we simply just, I don't think we can forecast that. I agree with Tim. In the next few years, we are going to have to deal with this on a different level than we know today. What I've been hearing from a lot of our membership is they're going to take advantage of the period of time when they can convert and carry both. And so that should be interesting to see how that shakes out. I really like the model, the competency model, and I know Sherm has put a great deal of effort into developing that, and I think it represents that strategic HR professional today as we'd like to be viewed. I think the greatest challenge that we're going to have is really how do you communicate that out to the business community, that that is a competency and should be perceived as a strength when you're recruiting an HR professional to work in your organization. So we tend to sit on the same side as Shrop. We don't know what's going to happen. We will continue to communicate as much information as we can. We make the information available at all our meetings and in our newsletter, and as we get updates, pass them along to our membership. But I will be curious to see how it impacts us next year after we've gone through that first cycle of being able to transfer your credentials.
You know, I think from a tactical standpoint, if I could, let me just clarify a couple of things. These are questions that I've heard, and I want to make sure that I'm clear on it. So both organizations, correct me if I'm wrong, and I will confirm with both of you, both organizations are going to continue to provide certification credits through HRCI for the PHR, SPHR, and GPHR certifications, correct? Yes, Lori?
Yes.
And yes, Tim, correct?
Yes, that's okay. what we plan to do.
Great. Is there the same thing for SHRM program? Are these going to now need certification credits for those two designations, the two new ones?
They will.
From what I can understand, they're going to need to be a preferred provider and follow a specific set of criteria to be able to be accredited programs. So the answer is yes.
So programs that are provided by both your organizations, the intent would be that as it continues to develop and grow over the next year or so, that these programs should be able to be certified by both groups, SHRM and HRCI. Is that correct, Tim?
Well, that's our goal. I mean, in both, as Lori had mentioned, so each chapter and organizations that provide programs that you know, where we have professionals that decide they want to have the SHRM CP or SCP designation, they can continue to receive those credits. It's just those providers need to become what's called a preferred provider and basically provide an outline of what the program is, and then SHRM decide, or the person submitting for those credits decides what competency and whether it be behavioral or technical, what that program falls under. The HRCI side, where that same person would then submit those for HRCI credits, that write-up is going to have to, it will look a little bit different. You know, as a preferred provider, SHRM sort of says, okay, well, you're a preferred provider. We're going to allow you to get credits for these programs. But HRCI, you need pre-approval for every program. You submit it, the information, and then they go through it and let you know whether or not you're going to get the credits for it. So it's a little bit different of a process, and that's, you know, and HRCI has, for the past couple of years, has been a little bit more detailed on what they're looking for information. And Lori, I know at the state conference level, I think you have seen it as well. You know, when you're trying to get those strategic credits or the business credits versus the general credits, it's a little bit, they're looking for more information. So it's just a little bit more of a tedious process.
We are talking with Lori Glaude from President of MAR and Tim DeBrio from President of SHRM, both in New Hampshire. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on Newstalk WLLB, and we will be right back.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com, and we are going to be finishing up here. We have Lori Glaude, the president of Manchester Area Human Resource Association in Manchester, New Hampshire, and Tim DeBrio, the president of SHRA, Seacoast HR Association in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. We have upcoming events, ladies and gentlemen. I'd love to know what you're doing here. It is November 8th. What's going on with your organization next, Lori?
Our next event is December 2nd. That's an evening event. We'll be doing a networking program. Lots of networking, heavy hors d'oeuvres. Cocktail hour is from 5 to 8 at the Dairy Field in Manchester. Visit our website if you're interested. It's a terrific program. We do a silent auction for the SHRM Foundation, and it's just a really nice evening with a lot of fun.
And what is that website, Lori?
It's www.mahra.org. MAHRA.org.
Great. Tim, what's your upcoming event?
Well, we have coming up on Thursday, November 13th, we have Dr. Carrie Strobel, who is actually the SHRM Competency Director of SHRM Competency from SHRM, coming to speak about the SHRM Competency model. So kind of continuing our conversation from earlier about the changes, she'll actually be going into more details about the what the model looks like. It's not really, she's not going to be presenting about any of the political piece or any of the nay or yay on whether or not you should get the competency, but about the model itself. Again, we'll be that'll be from 4:30 to 7, and the website is www.shranh.org for more information and to register.
And, of course, that is the annual dessert silent auction event. And so you know,
it
ladies
is.
And gentlemen, I'll be there. No question I'm going to that event. All right.
The question is, what are you bringing, Dave?
What am I bringing? That's a very good question, but I will find something delicious to bring. No question about that. All right, so, you know, the other thing I wanted to bring up is, Lori, you are president of the Granite State Human Resource Conference that happens once a year. Tell me a little bit about it briefly, when it is, and what's the big highlight, what's the topic this year?
The topic this year is Lead, Advance, and Advise Organizations. And our upcoming date is April 29th at the Center of New Hampshire. We have, our program committee has just secured our keynote speaker, so please look for your emails, your mailboxes. Save the dates coming out with a bio. I don't know if it's been publicly made, but it'll be coming out the first week of December.
Great. Awesome. So, you know, I want to end this so that both of you get to talk to HR professionals out there who may not be members of your organizations in your respective territories or areas. What I'd like to do is give me 1 minute commercial as to why somebody should join your organization. Give the pitch, and I'll start with Tim.
Well, our mission is to enhance the professional growth of our members by advancing the skills and competencies in the field of HR through seminars, workshops, and contacts and networking. And we just developed this mission statement 2 years ago, and I can say if you're an HR professional and you're looking to advance your skills, meet some other professionals, learn more about some of their challenges, and find some folks that you can bounce ideas off of, we're a great group for that. We have 100 members, and every one of them is willing to work and be a sounding board for another professional that has a question. And I think that's the biggest piece about what we can provide is that that venue for folks to kind of have the personal contact and then continue that relationship outside of our meetings.
Great. Lori, what is your pitch for Mara?
So we firmly believe that joining an HR association, any HR association in the state, brings great benefits to every single HR professional. And our mantra is to help our members connect, lead, and advance. And through networking, program materials, and advancing your profession. One of our member benefits that we hear all the time is, in HR, things are moving fast, really fast. And why go out there and reinvent the wheel? Network with professionals, use our services and our connections with SHRM to make your life easier and to help advance your organization. So we encourage every HR professional, join Mara or join another chapter, but be involved with a human resources association somewhere in the state of New Hampshire. It'll make you a stronger HR person and it'll save you a lot of time.
I want to thank you both for being on the show today. I think that it was a great discussion about why HR associations really matter and why they are a great benefit to anybody that wants to join these associations in the seacoast of New Hampshire and Manchester, New Hampshire. To your point, Lori, I think any HR association across the country is a place where HR professionals can get together and make it happen. So I want to thank you both for being on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me.
And now the HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group. Licensed agents in 28 states, business, commercial, and personal. Go to northerninsurancegroup.com. According to Wendy Evelo, author of Expert Resumes for Career Changes, she says there are resume truths that everybody should be aware of. 1. Content always dictates format. 2. Objective drives content. 3. Tell your career story. 4. Make sure to showcase your achievements. And 5. It's all about keywords today. Make sure you have the right ones. So follow these resume rules and you'll be certain to be found by recruiters and hiring managers who have the jobs you want. And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group at northerninsurancegroup.com. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to have two great guests, but they're from one great organization, Cross Insurance. First, Keith Fernando, Senior Vice President of Cross Employee Benefits, and Tony Cabana, VP of Cross Employee Benefits, are going to be talking about the new healthcare insurance landscape. 2014 began a major transformation in small group, large group, and individual markets. We're going to be talking about the new plans, the new distribution system, the terminology, and the employer requirements. That's on the next HR Power Hour. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.